Welcome back to Conversations with the Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I am a Calvinist. Today, we're doing a new segment on the program called A Theology Short, and we have with us one of the elders at Sovereign Grace Family Church, Brother Mike Collier. Mike, thank you for being here.
How are you doing?
Doing very good, and I'm glad that you're here. We're in the Learning Center here at Sovereign Grace, and we're going to be talking about the book of Ecclesiastes. And the reason why I asked Mike to join us is because this is a book that he has spent a lot of time with, and specifically in regard to one word in the book of Ecclesiastes, which you are convinced many translations simply get wrong.
Yeah, I believe that the word that's translated in vanity into the King James, New King James, I think even in the New American Standard, is vanity. And vanity does not actually catch the idea of the Hebrew word, which is havel.
Okay.
And havel actually means brevity, breath, vapor, no substance to it, short. Okay. And that we actually have a person's name in the Bible, Abel.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually his Hebrew name is Havel.
Okay.
And it means short, brevity, giving his, speaking of his life, it was very
short. Say his life was pretty short.
Very short. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and in reading the book of Ecclesiastes, first time I read it, it was in the NIV or NLT. I can't remember which translation it was, but it says it's meaningless. Life is meaningless. And I begin to wonder, well, as I'm reading this, it talks about enjoying your work, enjoying food, enjoying your wife, all these things. But then it says, but it's meaningless. Well, that can't mean what it's trying to say. So that's what led me on to the understanding of, obviously, what is the word that was used there in the original language, which is havel, and how did we get to vain or meaningless?
Yeah.
And so I'd start.
And I've heard people say that. And people will say, you know, meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless.
Or futile. All futility.
Futility, yeah. Yeah.
And so what I did is I began to, okay, how many times was that word was used? And I think in Ecclesiastes, I think it's used 38 or 39 times. And even all of the Old Testament, it was used, I'm pretty sure it was 73 times. So over than half the times the word's used, it's used in the book of Ecclesiastes. And what I wound up doing was going back, okay, what does that word mean? What kind of nuances does it have? Where was it used in other places? So I can try to get the, basically a word study, so I can figure out what is Kohelet, Solomon, trying to say to us? And if you go back to Proverbs chapter 31, well, I'll turn there, and it's the last two verses in there. He actually uses a word, and it's translated differently here as well. Proverbs 31, verses 30 and 31, and it's speaking of the virtuous woman. It says, "Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing." The word that's used there is the word havel, and it means fleeting.
Yeah, it's like a woman's beauty goes away with time, but a relatively short time.
Correct.
In that sense.
But that same word that's used there, you just flip over the next page, is translated vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Well, as you read through this and you get in your reading it, if everything is futile as this, then the book's going to have a very negative connotation to it, because it means everything's meaningless. Well, then why was the book even written if everything is meaningless?
I notice in your Bible you've scratched out the word vanity.
Everywhere where it says vanity, I've scratched it out and put the Hebrew word havel. I don't believe there is a word after doing the word study that actually captures what we need to use. I think it needs to be translated havel.
Okay. And we do that with other words, like baptism is the word baptizo.
Sure.
So we transliterate words, so it could have been done that way.
It could have. And how we got to the word vanity was the Septuagint. I went back to how the Septuagint looked at it. Septuagint looked at it as the word matiotes, which means folly. It can mean vain. It can mean passing.
Okay.
So when I looked at how they translated that, and how did we get to the word vanity in our English translation, is Jerome, when he translated to the Latin Vulgate from the Septuagint in the 4th century, I think it was, he translated that word into vanitas.
Okay.
So vanitas is where we get our word in English, vanity. It's, they still didn't go back to the Hebrew text to capture the idea. They went to the Septuagint. There were some, then in, obviously in looking at the word study, there were three other Greek translations, and a lot of people don't know this because they think the Septuagint was the only one, but there were three other Greek translations that were out after 100 AD.
Okay.
One was by a guy named Symmachus, Theodotion, and Aquila Sinop.
Okay.
And they did refer back to the Septuagint to try to help them get their idea, but they all translated that word into atmos. And if you know where the word atmos comes from, it's if you go to James chapter 4, verse 14, he says, man's life is nothing but a vapor.
So that word, vapor.
That word, they captured the idea, their Greek translation, when they went back to the Hebrew to get their Greek translation, they captured what this word was meaning, was vapor. So if you go through there, their word, where it says here, vanity, in the Greek translation, it's atmos.
Oh, wow.
So that's when I begin to go, well, man, is this, let me start saying what this word means. As I read this, I'm going to go through, and wherever it said vanity, I'm going to use the word havel, and it's actually made, the book makes more sense. Because when you get to passages where it's, if everything is meaningless, just take for some of the New Living Translation, the NIV, and there's a couple of other ones that use the meaningless, futile, nothingness, whatever it is. And you get I have summary sections that I studied it, and one of those is, when you get to 224, chapter 2, verse 24 through 26, then he goes like this. It says, nothing is better for a man than he should eat, drink, and that his soul should enjoy the good that's in his labor. Well, first of all, if everything is meaningless and worthless, then can anything be better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then nothing would be better. So, nothing is better than for a man to eat, drink, and that his soul should enjoy the good of his labor. This I saw was as from the hand of God. So now we're talking about the things that God has given us as being gifts. Are they meaningless, or are they just a vapor here today and gone tomorrow? And as you continue to read through the book, even you get to chapter 3, and we often use these, you know, a time to be born, a time to die. These things are nothing but here today and gone tomorrow. They're a season.
Yep.
And they're gone.
Seasons.
And life is how my interpretation of the book would be, a life is from one vapor to the next. From one vapor to the next. It's just here. It's gone tomorrow. Then you get to other passages, like in chapter 3, verse 12. And you can see where I have these highlighted. It says, I know that nothing is better than them to rejoice and for the good that's in their lives. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. What does that say?
For this is, it is the
gift, is a gift of God. Gift. So if you're going to use meaningless, vanity, futile, then you just said everything that God gave you that was a gift was meaningless.
Yeah.
That doesn't make the book make sense.
Yeah.
So as you continue to read through, you have other places where you have another section. Here's another summary statement for where I've sectioned it off. And chapter 5, verse 18 through 20, it says, Here's what I've seen. It is good. And listen, you'll find a connection with all of these summary sections. It says, here it is what I've seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat, to drink, and to enjoy the good of his labor, all in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God has given him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat it, and to receive the heritage, and to rejoice in his labor, there it is again, this is a gift from God.
Yeah.
And it says, for if he will to dwell unduly on his days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joys of his heart. So here it is. Once again, if things are meaningless or they're futile, then we're saying that the gifts of God are really irrelevant.
Yeah.
But the gifts of God are here today and gone tomorrow. And
yeah.
Think about how fast you eat your steak.
Yeah.
Favorite steak. Dude, it's gone. If you're like my oldest son, I mean, it's gone in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. It's vapor, it's fleeting. And then you have other passages where, here's another summary section. When you get to chapter 8 in verse 15, it says, "Now I've commended enjoyment because a man has nothing better," here it is again, "under the sun than this, than to eat, drink, and to be merry, for this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God has given him under the sun." So you're seeing, as you read through the book, you're seeing that everything that God has given to someone is to enjoy in light of God being God and who he is. Everything's a gift from God. Everything that you and me get, food, drink, job, where we live, the governments that he puts over us, what he talks about, oppressive governments and everything in here, it's all a gift from God, and we're to enjoy those things that he'd give us, because they're going to be here today and gone tomorrow, and you can never grasp that time again. You and me like to all at times say, man, what would I do to get that time back? We enjoyed that so much. I would love to have that back. Well, God's saying, don't worry about having that time back. You'll never get it back. Enjoy the moment, because it's a gift from the Lord to be enjoyed, because the next one, the next havel is coming.
Yeah.
And then you get to, let's see, if you say that it's futile and it's meaningless, listen to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. "Live joyfully with the wife from you love all the days." Now, this is how it was translated in the King James, New King James, New American Standard. "All the days of your vain life." That means it's useless.
I wonder if the NIV translates that
meaningless. It does.
Wow.
It does. So here, if you read it this way, "Live joyfully with the wife of your youth all the days of your fleeting life."
Yeah.
"For it has this under," this is what it is under the sun, "all the days of," once again, "of your fleeting life. For this is your portion in life, and this is the labor under the sun." So you're talking about something that's here today, gone tomorrow, a mist, a vapor. Man's life is always recognized, even in the Psalms, and we could go to the Psalms. I have a couple marked. We could look at Psalm 144, verse 4, that man's life is nothing but a vapor. And it actually says that, and then it's translated correctly here. Here it is, I'm sorry. It says here, "Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." So is that giving a worth of man's life, or the time frame of a man's life?
Yeah, time frame.
It's giving a time frame. And the word here for breath or vapor, that's the word.
Yeah.
So there, go ahead.
Well, as I say, it fits within, you've already mentioned James, but it fits within the context of the overarching message of Scripture, which is that life is relatively short.
It is short.
Especially compared
to... It's a blip
on
eternity.
Yeah, especially compared to eternity.
Yeah.
That's right.
Blip on eternity. And if you go to, this is the other one that I had marked just for time's sake, Psalm 39, and you go here to verse 6, it says, "Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they are busy like busy themselves in vain. He heaps up and does not know who he will." And here it is. The word vain here is the same word for havel. But if you go just before that, it says, "Surely every man at his best is still but what?"
A vapor.
A vapor. That's the same word.
So they, yeah.
It doesn't fit.
Yeah.
So a better understanding of the book of Ecclesiastes is better understood where vanity, meaningless, futility would be better off to just put the original word there, havel, and let the reader make whether it has a negative or positive. I think they have interpreted the book for you by doing that.
Yeah, and by doing so, most people come to the book of Ecclesiastes with somewhat of a
negative. Yeah, they say life's a bummer.
Yeah. Rather than seeing, you mentioned several times how many times it's referring to a gift from God.
Everything's a gift from God. Even, let's just take, for instance, there's one passage in there where it says, to those, life is a gift, the gift of life is good to those who are God's, and he gives them the ability to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So imagine me bringing a pecan pie here, sitting it in front of you. I hope you like picking.
Oh, that's, okay. That's
but I tie your hands behind your back and hold you and have your head back for all
you
can
say,
do.
I would go face
okay,
first.
But you have, all you can do is look at it. So you go, man, that's yours, but you have no way of enjoying it. But then someone comes up behind you and undoes your hands to where you can actually get it. Now you have the ability to enjoy it. That's what God does to his people.
Yeah.
He gives them not only a gift that's good, but then he gives them the ability to enjoy it. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes. That's my understanding of it.
Awesome. Well, Mike, thank you for doing this. And this is going to be part of our podcast, but it's also going to be used for the Academy
as
part of our teaching in the wisdom books, which we're going to be doing this week.
Sounds good.
Thank you for being here today. I appreciate you, and I appreciate how much you love God's people and how much you enjoy teaching us.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you for being with us today for Conversations with a Calvinist. Don't forget, if you have any questions, and especially if you have a question for Brother Mike and you'd like to email me, I can forward that to him. Just send it to calvinistpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to Conversations with a Calvinist. My name is Keith Foskey, and I've been your Calvinist. May God bless you.